0871 722 3344. Right, let's now attend to the action on the pitch, because there was a pretty entertaining game of football that went on last night out in Portugal. Portugal finishing 3-1 winners against Switzerland. VAR coming into action again. Be interested to hear what our next guest thinks about the VAR decision, considering he sits on a particular side of last night's game. Delighted to welcome on from the Selecao podcast, Danny Pinto. Very good morning to you, Danny. How are you doing?
Well, how are things?
Very well, thank you. Very well indeed. Look, Danny, let's start off with the obvious point on last night's game. Cristiano Ronaldo. The fact that he's still young, he's always going to be younger than, the fact that he's younger than Wayne Rooney, who was our kind of shining light from the same era, and continues to do things like score hat-tricks at international level in a competitive game. I thought he was absolutely stunning last night.
You know, it's crazy to think that, you know, in terms of sport, age 34, you're getting towards the end of your career. You know, you mentioned Wayne Rooney. Wayne had a tremendous career in England and for England. But he's plying his trade right now in the MLS. And at 34, 35, you would think that any superstar of any kind of caliber would be, you know, finding their way to the MLS, to China, to Qatar. But not only is Ronaldo not doing that, he's switching leagues. He's among the top scorer of a new league in Italy with Juventus, and he single-handedly changed the outcome of an international semifinal, and he's doing so quite easily. Sometimes, I mean, his three shots, were some of the most tactical shots you'll ever see. The free kick, the second goal from Bernardo Silva, where he was on the run, and then just a classic cutback to the right to score that third goal for the hat trick. He is I don't want to say once in a generational player. He's a multi once in a generational player. And I think as football fans, as fans of the Seleção, we are definitely thrilled and so fortunate to see him play as long as he has. And hopefully he's not done yet.
There's a couple of very exciting young players coming through, though. However, in particular, I think Bernardo Silva at Man City, what a wonderful season he had. And what about João Félix? We're talking about a player who now they're talking about being worth 120 million euros. This isn't, as we maybe saw Portugal in previous tournaments, a bit of a one-man team anymore, is it?
Well, you know, it's not, Will, and it's, you know, the lineup specifically tonight, or last night, I should say, I give a lot of credit to Portugal manager Fernando Santos, because he is as stubborn gets. He is very much old guard. He's very much, you know, I'm going with the players that have gotten us here kind of attitude. And he, in the semifinal against Switzerland, he implemented not only João Félix, but, you know, he decided to go with instead of going with Wolves, João Moutinho, who has been just a tremendous soldier for the Seleção for years and years. He gives the nod to Bruno Fernandes, and he has João Félix start up front. And, yeah, he's 19 years old, and at 19 years old, I don't know if I would have any kind of idea of what it's like to have the world at my feet, but here is a young man who right now has that. Obviously, it's his first start, his first appearance for the national team against Switzerland. You could definitely tell he was overwhelmed by the opportunity, but it is a look into the future without Cristiano Ronaldo, which at one point, maybe 2-3 years ago, seemed bleak at first, but now, you know, Bernardo Silva, João Félix, Diogo Jota over in Wolves as well. A lot of firepower, potential firepower, still at the helm, ready to go for the Seleção whenever Cristiano decides to hang him up.
Well, I can tell you that for those of us who are still bitter about Euro 2004, the World Cup 2006, we're very disappointed to see that Portugal are going to be good for years to come, Danny. But let's
as long as there's no winking involved, I think they'll be fine. I think we can all live in harmony.
We will talk about the upcoming final this weekend. Maybe England, maybe Netherlands. Promises to be a cracker either way. But there was an incident in this game that we probably need to talk about. The VAR incident. Switzerland not given a penalty at one end. Portugal then awarded a penalty before VAR went back and corrected the decision, as it is seen by them, certainly, and gave Switzerland the penalty originally. Big reaction, obviously, in the stadium. But how did you see it, Danny, sat at home?
You know what? I've looked at the call where Zuber goes down and you know, him and Nelson Smith have, there's a bit of a, to call it a collision is nothing. There's a bit of a knock there. For me, I look at it in this sense, and maybe it does come from a Portuguese point of view. Towards the end of the first half, there was a situation where there was a ball played to João Félix in the box, and he was bumped, for the lack of a better term, you know, pulled on the shoulder. It impacted his shot, but for me, you wouldn't give that a PK. You wouldn't give that a penalty, and I was fine with the non-call. I'm fine with the non-call until there's something very similar to what happened in the first half not being called the same way in the second half. And on top of that, you have a clear penalty that happened on the other end with when Bernardo Silva was taken down in the sixth, yet that is obviously washed away because, in my opinion, it was an incorrect – you know what? Incorrect is not the right word. I would say an inconsistent penalty call was made in favor of the Swiss, which they converted, could have had a lasting impact on the match. It thankfully for fans of Portugal and the Seleção, it did not. But I think the number one thing, even with video replay, you just want consistency. You just want to be able to say, yeah, you know what, they missed the call originally, VAR corrected it, or you know what, the call was, the call was missed or the call was made, VAR corrected it. There's still such a gray area, even now with replay, that I think is the most frustrating thing.
And Danny, we're going to disagree on part of the point, but your main point there, I 100% agree with. And I say this time and time and time again. Whether it's a handball decision, whether it's a free kick, a penalty, whatever it might be, all we are desperate for from our referees is clarity and consistency, is knowing why a decision is being given and then having the same decision given for the same incident time and time again and not having it given on one occasion and not on another.
Now, the reason 100% agree.
The reason I feel differently about the penalty is when you do see it and you see that the left foot makes connection with the knee and that's what causes the trip to happen, it is unfortunate. It is undoubtedly an accident. But I think as football fans, we have a lean towards, because it's an accident, you shouldn't penalise it. But my kind of belief is that, okay, but the player didn't get tripped on purpose. They had what could have been a goal scoring opportunity. They get tripped. They don't get that goal scoring opportunity, but then nothing else comes their way because of it. I thought that whilst it may have been considered soft or harsh by some people, I thought it was enough to give a penalty. Like you say, as long as you're consistent about it. I just think that, well, the other question is the VAR-ness of it all. I thought it quite added to the drama. I'm a neutral fan, so that makes it easy for me to say. But
sure.
I don't understand these people who think it takes away from the drama. I thought it added to the drama, if anything.
Oh, no, the drama was there. And I thought that, I have never seen since VAR has been implemented where there have been two penalty situations at stake here. You know, it had the... Had the and you know, and the fact that we know who Felix Bryk is, the German referee, I think is an issue already. You should never know what who the referee is. Should never know his name, but we do. And you know, he's had his issues last year in the World Cup as well. But the fact that one penalty was involved and was called and dismissed and just took away the other penalty for Portugal, I have never seen that since VAR has been implemented. And yeah, it's still a very young system, but drama, oh yeah, there was plenty of drama that's for sure.
Danny, final question, it's kind of a two-parter. As a Portuguese fan, who would you rather face in the final on Sunday, And should they be the favorite as the home team either way?
You know, as I'll answer the second question first. When you have Cristiano Ronaldo on your team, it's hard to not be considered a favorite. The fact that they are at home, I think, adds to that. With that said, I do believe top to bottom that England is the best team in this Final Four, just in terms of talent. I personally would love to see an England-Portugal final. Plenty of history between the nations in international competition. Obviously, you know, 66 was a great year for England and in beating Portugal in the semifinals. You know, in recent history, 04 and 06 come to mind in the positive light for Portugal. I feel that these are the two best teams in the Final Four. So why not pit yourself against the best and make an argument that you are the best team on your home soil? I think it would be great, and I think it would be great for football fans all around the world.
Danny, brilliant stuff. As always, really appreciate your time. Danny Pinto, joining us, host of the Seleção podcast. Check him out online. This is TalkSport. You're listening to Extra Time. Will Gavin.